Every month at The Hungry Brain, You, Me, Them, Everybody presents 8x8, a show featuring 8 performers performing 8 minutes each. Stand-up comedy, singer-songwriters, sketch groups, writers, improv troupes, a mixture of everything that's good about the Chicago arts scene. Please visit youmethemeverybody.com for full lineups and schedules.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and I am speaking with...
CJ Toledano.
Every time we do one of these, you get better and better of when to say your name.
It's yeah, man. I think it's dependent on my mood.
Are you in a good mood today or a bad mood today?
I'm in a good mood, man.
Apparently, I'm in a sing-songy mood, so I apologize.
I think I emailed you last night and said, let's do one.
Yeah, you've never done that.
Yeah.
Can we talk about all the bad things we couldn't talk about before?
We can talk about a little bit.
Nah, I don't care.
You could ease, don't straight out ask those questions. You could just like, we'll ease into it. Might be a fun game.
All we're going to say, do you want to play a fucking game?
Yeah, I would love to play a game.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, man. I got nothing to do.
Yeah, you took improv classes, didn't you? You like games.
I don't like improv games, but I like seeing how I can ruin a game.
You can't ruin a game if we're making it up.
Oh, we're going to make up a game?
Well, what kind of game would we play?
Let's play a game where we find out about each other.
Well, fine. That's fine with me.
Okay. You got one in mind?
Not a clue.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never met people through like these icebreaker games. I've always met people because they're really sad, and so am I.
Yeah, there's a lot of anger and hatred.
Yeah, I mean, I have been known to gravitate towards people who hate themselves and are insecure.
You could just say comedians.
Yeah, but no, but like even people outside of even met like. I mean, they generally, like, not on purpose, they end up being someone in art or a writer or something like that. Not necessarily comedians. Comedians are probably the most that I have.
In terms of friends or sadness?
Friends and sadness, on a pie chart, yes. But, like, there are sadder people that aren't comedians that I know.
Oh, absolutely. But who are those?
They're the saddest people because they don't even leave their house or, like...
That's my mom.
Yeah, like that.
How's your mom doing?
She's doing fine. Good, she's good. You know, doing her, you know, Vegas stuff.
Yeah, your mom moved to Vegas after your father passed away.
Yeah.
Why Vegas?
Well, the big plan was because they lived in Ohio. They lived on like the East Coast for their whole life.
Does Ohio count as the East Coast?
East or Eastern, like with like, you know, winter weather, four seasons type
yes,
thing.
Yes.
I mean, they lived in Boston, and they lived in Pennsylvania.
I didn't know that. Did you live in Boston?
No, they moved to Boston from the Philippines.
Oh, really? Okay. So are you technically first generation or second generation? I don't know how this works.
I think I'm first generation since I was born here.
Okay, but your parents were both born in the Philippines.
Yeah, they're born in the Philippines. They moved here in their early 20s.
Okay.
So yeah, they moved to Ohio. My dad got a new job in Ohio. Where he was like the chief of the hospital, and then
What was your dad's job? He was chief of a hospital. How does one become chief of a hospital?
Well, pretty much like there's a, you know, a bunch of doctors, a group of doctors who have the same practice, or practice the same thing. Like my dad was a rehabilitation specialist, and like he would when people get in like accidents or like severe injuries, my dad would be like the medicine side of that. So like physical therapy, so yeah, he dealt with a lot with like head trauma, like spinal trauma, stuff like that.
Okay.
So yeah, so he got that, and then they built this giant house over like 3 years, and then he passed, and then the plan was to, you know, do this for a few more. Like this is what my dad's big job, and then he passed. But the plan was to go to Vegas like within 5 years.
Okay, so your mom said, fuck it, now is the time to go.
Yeah, I mean, because they lived in Ohio and it was like really depressing. There's nothing around there. They had kind of just like this big house on the hill. They weren't really friends with all the people in the neighborhood, but like...
Did you grow up in that house or that was
no,
built?
No, okay. I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania. Majority of my life has been spent in Erie.
Do you miss Erie?
Not, you know, I feel bad at saying not really.
Why would you feel bad about that?
I don't know. I had good times there.
So?
I don't know. I don't miss it. I don't think I would be accomplishing anything that I've accomplished. Like, even just like in having friends that I go out with every day and like, or like seeing a great city, like that's an accomplishment to me.
Seeing a great city, not Erie, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, and looking out your window and seeing like the or going to like someone's roof and seeing the Chicago skyline, like that's awesome.
So you're in Chicago right now, so you're all in love with it.
Yeah, of course, and then I think everyone knows that's how I get.
Everyone knows that's how you get.
Yeah, because they ask me how's LA or New York, First I'm always like, yeah, LA is awful.
Yeah, why did you hate LA so much?
It's a lot of things that are my fault. I didn't go out immediately and start hitting, you know, comedy stuff right away. And I had Kevin Lee, so I kind of was just like, all right, you know, I can hang with Kevin, smoke with Kevin a little bit. But I was also working for Conan interning. I was making $0. Even though that he is like an idol of mine, I kind of got bored with it.
Yeah. Do you still enjoy like seeing that show, or do you even watch it anymore?
Yeah, I watch it as much as possible. I mean, I rarely miss a night. I usually catch up with it on the internet the next day if I do miss it.
Really?
You're one of the few. I know the ratings have dropped off, but you know, I think it's definitely gotten to be a better show than it was when it first got on TBS. I think, you know, they're going back a little bit to the old late night days. It just looks more grandiose because, you know, they have more money and they have a bigger set there in LA.
Who chose that the size of that stage?
Well, I don't know who chose the size, but I know why it's arranged the way it's arranged, and that's because Dana Carvey said that, you know, I think he referenced it back to like the Shakespeare days, where it would be like a theater in the round, and it's more of like this better like live experience for mm-hmm. the audience, where everyone's kind of, it's like there's no bad seat in the house, and then there's just like the action going on right in the middle.
Okay.
It just induces like much more like excitement.
I would disagree completely.
You would? Why?
Well, the old studio works so much better when people are on top of you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way Fallon does it. I mean, they had that at 30 Rock.
Exactly. So why not go back to that when it was the best?
I mean, dude, here's the thing. I mean, if you read articles when they were making that transition, they wanted to do something different.
But it's not different. It's exactly like the Tonight Show stage.
What?
Conan stage.
The current Conan stage is not like the old Tonight Show stage.
How is it different?
It's rounded.
Okay, but in terms of size, is it roughly the same?
I think they lost, I would say, like 80 to 100 more seats.
Really? Because that studio looks huge.
It does. I think it might be no, I don't think it's tall. I think it's smaller. It's smaller.
Okay. Well, then I'm sorry, and I take it back.
Yeah, take it back, dude.
I just did.
All right.
Now I could possibly get a job there, huh?
No.
What?
How would you get that information?
If I can get a job there, the answer is no.
How would you use that information to get a job there?
Now I know how the stage works, idiots. Yeah. Now I know all your secrets. I don't know.
So, I don't even know how did we get back on a Conan?
Your time in LA versus your time in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Let's stop talking about that.
Stop talking about that or start talking.
No, I think we talked about it last time, right?
I don't know.
Let's do that game we were talking about.
Yeah, what's the game?
I don't know. I do not know.
This is magical podcasting, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you have any topics? What's in the news?
That's the problem with, I had this fucking writer's block for the past few days, and there's nothing in the news that's exciting to me.
Yeah. Well, so you have this show, right? Mm-hmm. I just don't want it to become like we're catching up on the telephone and people, you know, I don't want you to post this, be like, yeah, I talked on the phone with Ladano.
Do you remember the last time I called CJ, it was about 3 a.m. Chicago time. We ended up talking about 4:30 a.m. Chicago time after a talk show, after You Meet Them Everybody in Chicago. You were currently in Vegas or something like that, though.
Yeah, I was in Vegas, and I had a crazy sleeping schedule where I went to bed at 8 in the morning.
Jesus Christ.
Because, like, I just had no – I didn't use up all my energy for the day when I was there. I would go and work out and go swimming, and that was it.
Yeah. That's not good.
And I'd write a teeny bit.
But so, you're in Chicago now, and you're excited to be there.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Stand-ups.
Doing a lot of stand-up.
That's good.
Feeling good about that again, meeting new people.
Who have you met that's new?
There's some big sleazy guys who are very nice, and they run a good show. It's a show downtown on Orleans Street.
Wait, big sleazy guys?
It's called the Big Sleazy, the showcase.
Okay.
It's on Thursdays at 9 o'clock. It's ran by, like regulars like Bob Palos, Nate Simmons,
okay.
Andrew Halter, but then new people like Andrew Halter, David Drake, Jason Earl Folks.
I don't know that guy.
Yeah, they're really nice.
Cool.
And, like, they just start out and they're very funny.
So that's a thing.
That's a thing. Yeah. People are still putting up show. There still needs to be more show, a little bit, maybe not more showcases, but definitely the open mics are a little bit lacking. Maybe some in quality.
Did you go to Kohl's?
I checked out Kohl's last week, yeah.
That's the best. Like, that's all that needs to exist.
Yeah.
You need a Kohl's 5 nights of the week.
I think Kohl's is a different environment than a lot of stand-up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, how so?
I think the crowd is different than... I mean, it's definitely
there's actually some crowd.
It's a lot of a crowd, but I mean, and again, I'm not gonna speak for this the place in general. The times I've went, it's very neighborhoody. Mm-hmm. Like no other shows happen in that neighborhood, which is great why they have it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go off and you do like paid shows elsewhere, it's not that crowd. So if you're coming up in that open mic and solely in that open mic, it's gonna hurt you.
I disagree completely. When you say paid crowd, what crowds are you talking about? Like comedy club crowds or like...
Yeah, comedy club crowds, downtown crowds. Like, I mean, I'm saying, in general, I'm saying you need to do every single open mic.
Yeah, I'd agree, but...
You can't just come up in that open mic. That's
why I'm saying there needs to be an open mic like Kohl's every night of the week.
Yeah.
That's 5 hours long, maybe in five different neighborhoods.
Okay.
That can cover everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crowds made up of comics and not comics.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
I would 100% agree with that.
Yes, but that's very hard to do.
It is, and that's kind of just the reality of, you know, comedy and open mics.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, are you having fun out there doing that stuff? Because you haven't been doing that, really.
Yeah, I'm having the most fun.
You did senior, is it Senior Reader or Senior Wiener?
Senior Wiener, yeah.
Yeah, senior... How was that show? I tweeted about that show. I wanted to be there.
It was awesome. I couldn't stay for the whole thing, but...
Why not?
I had to go to Town Hall.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Town Hall?
We're jumping around. Sorry, listener.
Sure. Town Hall for me is always bad.
Why? I love Town Hall.
I either go up late and where either I'm drunk or the crowd is drunk. And, like, I went up there. I went up there twice in the past few days. On Sunday, I went up for Entertaining Juliet. I've just never done good at Entertaining Juliet, so I just go just to do it and get it out of my system. You know, I get a few laughs, and then mostly people are very indifferent towards me. But I wish I could pinpoint why, but I don't get stressed out over why anymore.
Has that ever helped you getting stressed out over why? Did you just sneeze into the mic?
No, I snorted.
Okay.
What, getting stressed out over?
Yeah. Has that ever helped you become a better anything?
Yeah, well, I think it's part of the process. You get stressed out, then you figure out, and then you got to be active towards fixing it.
I'm very, very stressed out right now, but it has nothing to do with my performance and everything to do with the places we're doing the show.
Yeah, so what do? You get stressed out, and then you look for new places.
Yeah, and that's still fucking pain in the ass. And then you realize, well, these problems are going to follow you pretty much everywhere. So
yeah, absolutely.
So just do it and shut the fuck up.
Right.
So I'm trying to not get stressed out, but it's quite difficult.
Yeah, well, just know that stress never goes away.
Great. I didn't know that until I talked to you. Sorry, that's just being me.
Focus on the nice things, though, you know?
Like what?
There are so many nice things about
life. Aren't there? Sorry.
Huh?
Sorry, I'm being a dick.
Like, you know, life's fucking it's shitty. It's
oh,
real
God,
bad.
Shut up, CJ. Your life's great.
Stupid. I hate that people say my life is great. Sometimes.
Your life is great.
No, but say, like, right currently, I feel
my
like
my life is very good.
Your life is very good, too.
Yes, it's not great. It's very good. It's getting better.
I hate to go into, like, you know, I think it's like a Louis C.K. bit, but you're white and you're young. Like,
yeah.
That's why I hosted Lottie's last week, and I was talking in between this comic who had just gone up and just complained about, like, losing his keys and, like, I mean, it wasn't very clever or, like, you know, losing his pipe to smoke, like... It is a there are in Chicago.
Wait. Your idea of clever is doing a bit about losing your pipe?
No, these people are they're not doing like these clever bits, and they're just complaining.
Yes.
And so and then a lot of these comics complain that there are like it's separated between the north side and the south side, but they're not going to get like a diverse crowd if it's solely white people complaining about dumb shit in basements. Like, that's what a lot of Chicago, or not just, that's a lot of comedy in general.
I think I told you this. I think one of the best things I've ever did by moving and doing the show out of here was not doing shows to a completely white room.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
I think
it's shocking when you get laughs that you thought that only, like, people your age, your race, your sex would like, and you're like, oh, wow, funny is funny.
Funny is funny, yeah. I mean, I don't fault anyone who has found a certain demographic or crowd and, you know, only wants to play for that. I think if I knew what my demographic was, I might lean only towards that.
I disagree. I don't think you would, because you don't like those guys. You like a little bit of everybody.
Yeah, I tend to like a lot of people.
That's a good thing.
I also hate a lot of people, too.
Who do you hate? Let's go through the list. No, we're not going to do that.
Oh, I almost did. You almost had a great fucking...
Who would you... are you talking about local or big? Because no one cares about local.
Yeah. No, it would be very boring.
Would it be probably local?
I'd bring up, like, people from grade school.
Yeah, who cares? Do you actually hate anybody from grade school thinking...
I don't think so.
I can't think of one person that I'm like, fuck that guy in grade school. If anything, I'm like thrilled that I'm no longer living there.
I hated teachers and coaches, for sure.
Yeah, but now looking back, don't you kind of pity them?
Like,
you're there. You were that.
No, I mean, you can't. I don't want to be like that.
Really?
There are moments where I'm like, yeah, I should call this guy up and be like, fuck you, man. See what I did? Like, there are people who are very specific towards, like, you know, trying to, you know, yell at me about my future when I was in high school.
Like, what did they tell you?
Well, my football coach, he brought me into his office. He was also, they gave him like kind of...
Wait, did you just say your football coach?
Yeah.
I didn't know you played football.
Yeah, I played football for 3.5 years in high school. I'd say 3.5 because I tore my ACL sophomore year, so I had to sit out.
What did you play?
I played tight end and D end.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you any good?
Yeah, I was good.
Why did you stop playing? Why did you try college ball, or are you just, like, realistic?
No.
Well, I don't know how good you were.
I was not good enough to play college football.
Were you all state?
I could have played D3, I bet. I know a lot of people who, I went to a pretty prominent football high school.
Yeah?
Yeah, Cathedral Prep in Erie, Pennsylvania.
See, I'm not making fun of you. This is interesting to me.
Yeah, so I probably could have got a couple of coaches to recommend me to some, like, D3 programs. But I do miss playing football, and I wish there was a way to, you know, that there were, like, leagues where you get padded up and, you know, you go out and play on a Saturday.
Yeah, okay, there are,
mm-hmm.
But those aren't for you.
Yeah, they're probably huge and, like, ex-football players.
They're the guys that played, like, D2 and had, like, one shirt, like, one season where they, like, played the first week of training camp.
Yeah.
And it gets fucking scary.
I would totally, I mean, if I was set for an entire year with money and, like, I knew I could pick up my career right after it, I would spend an entire year in the gym working out and training so I could go play football.
Really?
Yeah, I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Jesus. I don't want to. I don't miss it at all, actually.
Did you play?
I played, here's the thing, I played 5th through 8th grade, and then I was supposed to play going into high school.
Uh-huh.
And then I realized girls are a co-ed soccer team. So I quit midway through the 8th grade season and joined the soccer team because the girl I liked played soccer.
Yeah.
And then I played soccer in high school and hockey in high school.
That happens so much. But, you know, that's like I found out that you can't – I mean, yeah, that was something that I did wrong in grade school and high school. You can't – if you join a group because a girl, it never works out.
It did and it didn't.
What happened?
I got to meet people that didn't play football, and then those people ended up being in bands with me and shit like that. So that's a positive.
Yeah. Okay.
And I went to Fenwick, which was another Catholic high school, very big football program. These were the worst guys on campus.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to hang out with them, which is good. On the negative side, I played hockey sophomore year. Those guys are actually worse than the football players.
Yeah, I remember my hockey friends. They're disgusting.
Yeah, they're way worse. So it ended up being a negative, and I wish I had still had played, but not at that school.
Mm-hmm.
If I had went to the public school, I would have probably played and not hated it.
Right.
But you don't have a choice, so whatever, fuck it.
Wait, so your Catholic school was co-ed, correct?
It was co-ed. I wouldn't have gone. Okay. I would have refused.
I went to an all-boys school.
You glad about that?
I am. I'm very. I mean, if I lived in that town and I was raising a family, I'd send my. If I had sons, I would send them there.
See, the thing, you've never had a problem talking to girls, though.
Are you kidding me, man?
As long as I've known you, you've always seen like someone that.
Yeah, you know me in Chicago where I kind of came out of my shell.
Oh, that's true. How were you in high school and all that shit?
I was a novelty. I was like, you know, I always thought like if
Wait,
I
why
could,
were you a novelty?
Because I thought if you could be the funniest guy in school that, you know, girls would just come to you. But they just like, oh, that's the guy I'm going to laugh at when I'm drunk. And then I'm going to go talk to the quarterback or like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I got to hang out with those girls and we became friends. But when it came down to me being like, hey, I like you. Like, let's go out sometime. Like, yeah, like, or like, they would laugh in my face because I think it was a joke or stuff like that.
And Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, when I came here, like, I had, you know, I was within a scene that, and I don't even think I'm good with girls now.
Well, when do you date?
I don't actively date. If I meet someone who's nice, I like hanging out with them.
When is the last time you had a girlfriend?
Last time I had a girlfriend was 2009.
Maybe you shouldn't have gone to an all-boys school.
Dude, but maybe going to an all-boys school taught me to, you know, put my priorities together and do comedy, you know?
Yeah.
And take care of that. Because what if I had a girlfriend throughout the whole time that I was here? I'd probably been fucked. I'd probably be, you know, not have, you know, great writing jobs or opportunities to intern at Conan or write for Fallon.
I completely understand that, but I'm coming from the opposite, where if I didn't have a girlfriend, I'd probably just have an STD.
Sure. I mean, I think you learn how to do stuff however, you know, however you are.
Yeah.
Like, you had a girlfriend, you learned how to put this show together. I didn't. I learned how to, prevent loneliness, and then, or when it happened, make myself happy by going out and do comedy.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So it's just pluses and minuses, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
How long are you going to stay in Chicago? Why are you there? I still don't completely understand why you're there. I mean, like, you're currently essentially playing the field. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean,
in terms of, like, career.
Yeah, I'm kind of I'm also in a holding period, you know, but like one that it's not my fault because I like writer's block or anything.
Oh, yeah.
I think, I came here originally to do 2 weeks of stand up. And then I got a couple people contacted me about a job that possibly would happen here. So I'm waiting to hear more on that.
When will you know more about that?
Hopefully today.
Once you find out, we'll talk about it on the show. Until then, let's not.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, I remember I got hired on my last job the day of...
The hour we finished recording.
Yeah. I took a nap right after, and then I woke up to, hey, you want to move to New York?
Jesus Christ. I like that CJ and I never end up in the same city. It's quite fun to me.
It is. It's. I mean, you came to New York, and we... I did the show.
And then I didn't see you the next two times I did the show there. Once you were busy and once you would like just left like that day before, something like that.
Yeah.
And then since I've been back, you've been in LA or Vegas. And now I was in Chicago 2 weeks ago and you got there like 2 days later.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I have my fingers crossed. I really do want to stay in the city. I mean, I'm done being... You know, I thought I was going to be this guy who's like, I'm going to go conquer New York and L.A., but, you know, I'm 24. If I can get a job here that I enjoy, I have no problem. I don't want to, you know, be this crazy superstar like Donald Glover or something. Like, no, I don't blame him, but, like, I'm fine not trying to go after that.
Well, here's the thing. I want the job you are also going for.
Mm-hmm.
And we will not talk about that job until we find out what happens with you. But okay. I don't even have the fucking idea of how to start trying to get that job.
Well, I mean, neither did I. I had heard about it a couple weeks ago, and then I didn't make any... I mentioned it to my manager, and he was like...
But you have a manager.
Yeah, you need a manager.
How do I get a manager?
Dude, I have no idea.
All right.
So here's a funny story. I went and talked to Second City Kids... the comedy studies program, which I started out in when I moved here. And my old teacher had me come in and do a little Q&A. And so they asked me about, you know, getting work and stuff. And I told them I had a manager and stuff like that. And this girl, she asked, like, she keeps raising her hand and asking, she's like, I have a manager. And I was like, okay, cool. She's like, yeah, but my manager, like, I don't know if he's not like getting me any jobs. Should I leave him? And I was like, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure. I have a manager, but like everything's good with him. So I'm not sure. I'm sorry. And then she raised her hand again, like a few minutes later. She's like, yeah, about my manager thing. Like, he's making me cry. And I was like, you know, I'll answer this, but it's not, you know, a manager specific question. But if someone's making you cry, maybe don't work with them. And she's like, oh, okay. And then she continues to do this. She even comes up to me. I was speaking with somebody outside the class after the talk, and she comes to me and continues to ask me more questions about a manager. So my big thing was like, stop worrying about getting a fucking manager and do awesome work.
What's her name?
I don't know her name.
Are you dating?
Am I dating?
Will you date her?
No.
Why not? Is she pretty?
I mean, she's also young. She's like 20.
Oh, too young, CJ. Too young. That's disgusting.
Not Marty DeRosa.
Heyo, local callback.
Nobody knows that. I mean, do you have
maybe actually. What'd you say?
Do you have national listeners?
Yeah, I got national listeners. I got a lot of Red Bar fans, so probably they do know Marty.
Okay, well, to your Red Bar fans, fuck Mike David.
No, I think Mike's doing that himself. We don't need to talk about that.
Yeah, and then also follow me on Twitter. I need more followers.
You piece of shit. Do I follow you on Twitter or no?
I don't know. I have a new account.
I used to, and I think you didn't exist anymore.
Yeah, and then I got another one, and then but it was a different username, and then I wanted my old one back, so I got the old one back.
Ooh. Twitter news.
Twitter news. Let's talk about something interesting now.
Like what? You brought up the Second City Jag.
Yeah.
Just show off that you did a fucking talk there.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was a big focus. Like, guys, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I'm going to assure you that everything's going to be A-okay.
Guys, could I get a job?
Yeah.
Would you want to work for them?
Yeah, I would. I don't know in what capacity. I mean, they're starting the new club up. I don't know if you've heard about that. Venue. What's that?
I have not. Continue.
It's great. They just put photos up on the internet of like renderings of the venue, and it looks incredible. And then I don't know if I can speak about who they're booking, but I really like what their plan is on who they want to book.
Well, what is the plan? Is it a stand-up venue or?
Yeah, it's a stand-up venue, and then they're going to also have some other shows.
Oh, really?
But it's mainly a stand-up venue. That's why it's called Up, as in stand-up.
Where is it at?
It's where Tony and Tina's used to be.
Oh wow! So it's in the same building.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's really beautiful.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm really excited, and you know, even if I don't live here, I'll be excited to come back and that be like, because I came up in Second City, but for some reason I'm a stand up.
Yeah,
I've always had a relationship with them, and it'll be fun to be able to go do stand up at that place.
Why do you think they're doing this?
Oh, I mean, it's business. I mean, you know, they see that Zany does very well, and it's been. You know, and it's in Old Town, but it's kind of older, and you know, I think people do get turned away from those shows because it does sell out, but it's a smaller venue. But you know, for people who the Second City name is so huge with comedy, why not have stand up?
Yeah,
I fully support it. You know, the thing about UCB and you know they have. You know, improv, sketch, stand-up, I always loved that about it. Like, that was one of the big things about when I was going to move out to New York or L.A. without a job was getting to come up through that. Like, just being, like, in one central location and just be able to do any sort of comedy.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that they're getting into it.
When is their launch date?
I think it's in November.
Jesus, that's soon.
Yeah, so you got that club and you have the new Laugh Factory.
Yeah, when is that supposed to open?
They said, like, first
the summer,
said,
right?
June, yeah. And then August, and then, yeah, it's just been getting delayed, so I stopped looking at when they're going to open it.
It's going to be an interesting whatever happens to that place.
Yeah, I hope all of these clubs can survive because there are a lot of comedians here who deserve to be working who don't necessarily want to move out to New York or L.A.
It seems to be this whole resurgence due to podcasting as well.
What, the...
Stand-up.
You think podcasting is leading to people wanting to do stand-up?
And going to see stand-up, yeah, absolutely.
I could see going to see stand-up for sure.
More than ever before. I mean, think about how easy it is now to hear whoever you like all the time.
Right, right.
And that never happened before.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's all.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Good. I was worried you wouldn't.
Well, I don't think the listeners want to hear us fight right
Let's
now.
Let's fight!
Did you see any movies recently?
No. What about you?
I did. I saw 50-50.
What is that?
It's a cancer comedy with it was written by this guy, what's his name? Jake Reiser.
No.
And it's produced by Ben Carlin, who wrote a fantastic, or he didn't write, but he compiled this amazing book called Things I've Learned from Women Who've Dumped Me.
Okay.
And he used to write for The Daily Show, and he produced it with Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, and Seth Rogen is in it. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it. It's about this guy.
Oh, that one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's my favorite movie of the year.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right, I'll check it out.
Comes out September 30th, but it's intense.
But I don't like Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
He's good in this. He's an everyman. Like you would know this guy.
All right.
Why don't you like him?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah.
I don't
What's
know.
What's your beef with him?
I'm not like I don't get it. I don't understand the popularity at all. That's what I don't I'm not like fuck this guy. I'm somewhat like fuck this guy. But I just don't understand why anyone likes him.
I've always understood the movie star thing of like it's a lot of luck and you know throwing this, you know, he's a good-looking guy.
He looks like a boy.
I mean, I can't decide for dudes, but like from what I hear from women, yes, he's a good-looking guy. And when I look at him, I'm not like that guy's a freak.
No, no, no. But think of Inception. Think of all the other males on that cast, roughly Joseph Gordon-Levitt's age. Those guys look like men, and he looks like a boy.
I think he's young, though, isn't he? How old is he?
I think he's 27.
Yeah. That's
and those guys were like 29? What's?
Come no, on. Those guys are not 29.
All right, I'm gonna look this up.
You know what I mean? Like he was playing a young guy in that movie.
I don't know, man. This comes up way too often, by the way.
I just don't think he's a guy you need to. he's fine. Like you don't need to love or hate him.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is 30.
Yeah, I mean it's young.
Is it?
I think it's young. Yeah. When I'm 30, I'm not gonna. I mean, I might complain that I'm 30, but I'm also gonna be like, I'm glad I'm not 40.
How old is Leonardo DiCaprio? He's a lot older. Okay.
Yeah, he's got to be like. How old is he in his 40s?
74. He's not in his 40s yet. Tom Hardy, though, that's the guy that. Tom Hardy is only 4 years older. He's playing Bane. He's the British guy that was in Inception. He was in Layer Cake. He's gonna be playing Bane in the new Batman.
I'm looking him up right now.
And. Yeah, come on. And Cillian Murphy, who's also in Inception, is 5 years older than Joseph Gordon-Levitt. These guys all look older than him. Like, a lot older than him.
Whatever. You know, it's people look young. People look old.
Wow, what a statement.
It's a weird cut. It's pointless.
Get it. Why do women like him?
I don't know. You're also not competing for the same women, so you shouldn't get so mad.
Maybe I am competing for the same women.
I doubt it. You're going to get married very soon.
No, not that way. Not to bang.
No. So your wife's going to just let you bang?
No, I'm not competing to bang. I don't care about that. I care about jobs that I don't have and don't know how to get.
Wait, you want to be an actor now?
All I wanted to ever do was have Joseph Gordon-Levitt roles. I've only wanted to be on Third Rock from the Sun. That's the only thing I've ever wanted.
You're a maniac.
I'm the best. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's more frustrating because I don't get it. That's all.
Yeah. But, all right, let's try one.
Help that he's co-starring with Seth Rogen, and now I'm going to get about fucking year of Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Seth Rogen comparisons.
Yeah. Dude, you're doing what you're doing. Just keep doing it.
I'm not asking for approval. I'm just saying that's what's going
to
happen.
I'm going to, because I feel like you're going to jump off a building if I don't give it to you.
No, I'm not going to jump off. There's no buildings that are tall enough in Washington, D.C. I don't know if you knew that. There are no skyscrapers here.
Yeah, that's what would really depress me about that town.
That there are no skyscrapers?
Yeah.
It's a cool skyline, though.
What? I'm going to look it up right now.
It's because of the Pentagon and all that shit. The Pentagon and the White House and don't want people, you know, flying into skyscrapers because of the obvious. So.
Was that the reason?
Yeah, that's why their buildings are only so tall, so people can see the Washington Monument and shit like that. And also because of terrorism.
Interesting. I mean, yeah, that totally makes sense. I never really...
You don't want people to be able to shoot at the White House from a building, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. It looks very boring to me.
It's compared to Chicago, it's very boring.
Yeah, this looks like... Remember those 3D puzzles that were really big in the 90s?
It does look like a 3D puzzle.
Yeah, it looks like someone mashed up like four different cities and stopped working on it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. I'm going to go downtown very soon to go to the gym.
Yeah. Are you going to the gym?
Yeah, I go to the gym every day, but it's not like I'm kicking ass and taking names. It's like a don't get fatter type of gym workout.
No, but that's how, you know, you live a somewhat healthy lifestyle. Like, I will do that for months, and then I'll completely throw it away.
I don't throw it away. I've been consistent for the past, I don't know, 7 months?
Uh-huh.
But it's maybe 10 months, but it's a mixture of gym and just, like, doing yoga or fucking push-ups at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I saw pictures of you, and you looked very good.
I look okay. I was out of D.C. for about 10 days in August, and I gained at least 15 pounds.
Ooh, well, you know how to get rid of it, right?
Yeah, don't be a fat fuck.
Yeah, don't put too much pressure on yourself. And I mean, for podcasts, you're talking about podcasts, it's led me to the gym more than anything else in the last few months.
Just listening to the shows at the gym?
Yeah, I would just, I always, when I would run, I used to have a treadmill, so I would just be like, oh, I haven't watched this movie or I haven't watched this show. It's not that important to where I need, you know, complete attention, so I will run and walk while watching this show. Like, I used to do this thing with Conan, and this is how I was watching The Tonight Show, was I'd watch it, and then I would run during the show, and then I would walk during commercials.
Okay, that's a good, that's actually a good plan, but I would do the opposite.
Yeah, well...
Oh, no. You walk during the show and you run during commercials.
No. Opposite.
No, I would run during commercials because it's so awful.
Yeah, well, running is awful, but you get used to it.
Eh, fair enough. No, I mean, also the commercials.
What?
We're getting lost in translation here. I apologize.
Yeah. but yeah, that's, you know, you. I can't... I would always come up with things like that.
It's a good thing. I got the... whenever I'm, like, waiting for... I have two slow, very, very slow computers, you know? So if I'm waiting for something to render, then I will do push-ups or sit-ups. Or if I'm waiting for this, I'll do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, those are good systems. Like, they're relevant to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So how did this turn into a fitness podcast?
DC and I referenced the gym.
Okay.
But that was – I only really referenced it to 9/11. I wanted to talk about 9/11.
You want to talk about 9/11?
Yeah.
Where were you in 9/11?
When in 01 or 2011?
In 01.
It was great. I was near where you are. I was in the Loop, actually.
Okay.
I was staying at my then-girlfriend's dorm, which was across the street from the Chicago Theater. She went to the Art Institute.
Oh, nice.
So we wake up, and her roommate's boyfriend is a Marine.
Okay.
And they had on, like, Arthur on the television set.
The, and I was like,
the fucking smart panda? Yeah. What is, bear? What is Arthur?
Oh, Arthur's an aardvark, isn't
oh,
he?
Oh, yeah, okay, sure. An aardvark. That's what it is. I don't
know.
And I was giving him shit for not watching the news in the morning, and they turned on the news, and all of a sudden it was footage of the first plane crashing on WGN News, and they thought it was a film accident.
Oh, like they were shooting something?
Yeah, something went awry during a film accident.
Yeah.
And then, like, a minute later, we watched the other building get hit, and we're like, oh, fuck, time to go to class.
Right. So and then was class canceled when you got there?
Well, not yet. They went to the Art Institute, and they still had a class, and I went to DePaul in the Loop. So I walked during the Loop, and, like, half the people in the Loop knew, and half the people were just, like, trying to get to work.
Yeah.
So we go to the DePaul, whatever. It's on off the Jackson Red Line. It's the CNA building. It's across the street from the CNA building. And there's a roof, like, cafeteria is on the top floor, and there's a roof deck. So I'm, like, CNN is on. And the giant big screen TV says the Sears Tower is now being evacuated. And everyone starts screaming. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And all the elevators were packed and the stairs and blah, blah, blah. And I go outside and I see my professor like holding the door. I'm like, are we going to have class? She's like, no, go away. So I went back to the Art Institute to wait for her, but it was taking forever. So I just decided to walk along the lakefront. And there was all these homeless guys like sleeping that had no fucking idea what had just happened.
Yeah, that's kind of – I love that. I want to know more about that, people who are cut off from society a little bit.
Like, how long did it take for you to realize, like, this is now different? Like, your funding will be cut in half because of something you had no idea about.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And then I sat outside her dorm because at that morning after that happened, they wouldn't only let students in.
Okay.
So couldn't have guests. So I waited outside of their dorm for like three or four hours. And this is before iPod, so I just listened to Kid A on repeat. Because that's what I was listening to at the time.
That's great.
It's just
that's
the really CD great. I had.
That's great, yeah.
So I had a great 9/11.
Good. So where were you in 2011 then?
I was in. That's the thing. I was here editing a podcast, and then I decided to go to the gym in downtown Washington D.C. And I was like fucking so happy that it was a really busy day.
Yeah.
Like that actually made me like feel kind of cool to be an American and blah blah blah. And then I got to the gym. I wanted to watch the Bears game because I don't have the NFL Sunday ticket, and it was not the local game. And that fucking cunt wouldn't put it on because they were busy watching Fox News. They would let me watch Fox News, but not Fox, regular Fox, because it would change all the channels, and she didn't want to do that. There were two fuckers in the gym. Fucking cunt. And that was my 2011. 2011, I'll never forget.
I was dating that girl in the gym, would you be like, sorry for calling her a cunt?
What if you were dating that girl in the gym?
Yeah, no, and she told me, like, oh, I ran into your friend Brandon at the gym in D.C.
No, I saw her on fucking Twitter, so I started tweeting about it because she was checking the Crunch Gym page. So after she told, like, explained to me, I just kept tweeting, like, they'll let me watch Fox News, but not Fox, never forget, stuff like that.
I feel like you, I don't know, I've maybe only seen it once or twice, and you mentioning that whole thing, you love to, like, really critique, or, like, live tweet your complaints about gyms, TV, or like coffee places, music,
stuff like that. I'm stupid. Well, because if I don't do that, all it is like plugs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Twitter's got this weird thing. Like today, I realized one of the members of Odd Future's name is Taco.
That's not surprising to me.
So I tweeted about how funny and non-threatening that is.
You know, I'm a big hip hop fan. I'm not as much as I was in high school. I used to be so much. I used to be like really involved in all that stuff, but now this like Odd Future is huge now, right?
Yeah, but
I don't feel they feel a little bit too abrasive to me. Like even Wu-Tang Clan, like they had good songs. I listened to a few Odd Future songs. I couldn't get into it. But Wu-Tang, I mean, they remind me of Wu-Tang Clan.
They're not Wu-Tang. Everyone's comparing them just because there's so many members.
Right, they're black and they have so many members. It's like. That's their selling point.
Do you actually want me to tell you about Odd Future?
Sure.
The comparison between Wu-Tang, just because of members, it makes sense, and there is essentially a leader. So Odd Future is led by Tyler, the Creator. Wu-Tang was led by the RZA. We get that. The giant fucking difference is the ages. I mean, Wu-Tang Clan didn't get big until RZA was like, what, 26, 27?
Mm-hmm.
This guy's 20, or 22, I think.
Was this like New Edition?
Kind of. No. It's just he's too young. That's the big difference.
Yeah.
Because there's no perspective, because there's not a lot of thought, and because there's so much success so soon, but it's only critical success and not commercial success, and it will never translate to commercial success.
Right.
They're going to be gone in 18 months. I'd say a year. I say a year from now, no one's going to know who Odd Future is.
Yeah, well, maybe I won't try to get into them then.
I mean, they're not bad. The music is actually very good, but the music is for like the people that liked MIA's mixtape with Diplo in 2003. Like, who the fuck cares? That's not going to translate into big commercial success. And if you're doing hip hop on that level, you need big commercial success.
Yeah. Hey, Nate Simmons is calling me. Can I answer it?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Hold
Nate on. Simmons, for those listening, is a Chicago comic. Is he still in Chicago?
Yeah. Nate.
Yo.
Hey, what up, dude?
Nothing much. What are you up to?
I'm on a podcast with Brandon Weatherby right now, but I needed to ask you something.
Yeah?
I have a friend who's visiting from New York who's in town. He's very funny, and I was going to see if you had any room for a guest set for him on Big Sleazy tonight.
Yeah, we have room for him.
Cool. His name is Scott Rogowski. I'll forward you his info, and I'll tell him to show up tonight.
All right, cool.
Cool. I'll bring him down and I'll see you tonight then.
All right, cool. I'll see you tonight.
All right, later, dude. Bye.
And that's how business is done.
Yeah, so go to Big Sleazy tonight.
Where is Big Sleazy?
Big Sleazy is, I think it's on like Chicago and Orleans.
Oh, that's that new one you were telling me about.
Yeah. It's at the Green Door Tavern.
The Green Door Tavern. That I used to work like right there.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you get on the Brown Line, you get off at Chicago Brown Line. You walk towards Halsted. What would that be? That's
west.
West, yeah. You walk west, one block from that stop. Take a and then walk. Let's see. If you're walking west, walk south, one block, and you'll see it.
Or walk just Google it. Or just Google it.
Yeah, Green Door Tavern, that's, or Big Sleazy.
That's good. That's gone. That's
this isn't even coming out today, is it?
This comes out tomorrow.
Yeah,
I just did one with Merle. That goes out today.
Oh, I think I saw Merle at Cobra Lounge.
Yeah, she was at Cobra, and she was at a show last night that Bill Cruz put up.
Yeah, the Music Lounge.
Did you go to that?
No, I haven't done it yet. It's right by my sister's place, though.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I feel like I'm missing out on so much, and I'm not even going to be back in Chicago until November.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see if I'm here. That'd be fun.
That would be.
All right, so what else? What else can we talk about?
I don't remember.
I want to end with like.
What was your 9/11?
Oh, well, I was a freshman in high school.
Oh, you're so much younger than me. I always forget that.
I was a freshman in high school. It was in the beginning of the school year, so we had hearing tests. So I was at a class and I was in this big auditorium and I go and do my hearing test. And then I come out and I pass a classroom who is watching TV and I'm like, come in here, look at this. And I see a tower on fire or like smoke coming out of it. And then I'm watching it and then another one hits. And so I walk back to my actual class and I tell the teacher, I was like, I broke the news to like 15 people.
Always
and
the
so,
former.
Yeah, so the thing, it's great. It's so funny to me that, you know, I this is why I kind of want to make it or kind of be somewhat famous and for being really dumb is so that those 15 people can tell their friends and family, oh, where was I on 9/11? I was in a classroom when that idiot guy you see on TV who slips on a banana peel, he's the one who told me about the most tragic event in American history.
That's a thing.
Yeah, that could be a thing.
All right. That makes sense.
So yeah,
about
I was
you all these people dying and it's always about you.
So I mean, you know, we're all fucking narcissistic people.
Did you not joke about it? Did you ever take offense to a 9/11 joke?
I think the majority of them are are in bad taste.
So?
I feel like they're, you know, say something with it at the very least, not just, you know.
No, I disagree.
You do. I mean, yeah, I have friends who disagree. I mean, I don't hate you for it, but yeah, a lot of them are in bed.
I didn't know you could hate somebody for it.
I don't know. Things are. I'm sure there are things that you have that are in bad taste. You know, no matter how funny they are, if they're in bad taste, I always subscribe to, you know, what's funny is funny. So
yeah.
Come at me with 9/11 jokes that are funny, and you know, I don't mind.
Well, I used to run around. I used to work at Crow's Nest Record Store in Chicago, the one in Lincoln Park. Not the one in the Loop, but the Loop would have been a little bit slightly more insensitive. Space was huge. It was a block long. And from September 12th till about, I don't know, I quit, I would run around, jump at people, tackle them, and yell Tower 2.
Oh, my God.
And that was always funny.
That's crazy, man.
That's
a little
funny. Tower 2!
It's funny because I know you. And
it's funny because it's also it's funny. One of these things is the most painful, tragic, life-changing, world-changing event. If you right. can't make it fucking stupid, then
yeah,
kill
yeah.
yourself.
Well, no. They're like Sean Flannery. Have you heard his bit about it?
No.
His is incredible where he slept through it as well, and then he showed up to work, and he had heard, you know, there was something going on, and then it was announced, and he never found out what happened, and they announced at work everyone's going to be sent home because of what happened. He thought it was a bomb threat at DePaul. So he got up in front of all of his coworkers and said, all right, getting out early. I think I might get a haircut, and then started high-fiving people. It's so funny. I mean, yeah, Sean Flannery is one of the funniest people, one of the funniest Chicago comedians, or funniest comedians I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Great storyteller. But yeah, that's really funny.
That's great.
Did you so.
We did a joke on the show that went up today, and the producer Peter wrote it, and it's very funny and it's cute. It's one of the cutest 9/11 jokes I've ever heard. It's
let's hear it.
It's a thinker. Why are all these Europeans commemorating November 9th?
Why?
Just think about it.
Why are these Europeans, right? Oh,
yeah. See, it's stupid. But it's like that. There's no one hurt in that joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a good little twist on that whole thing.
But most importantly, it's stupid.
Yeah,
it's definitely stupid.
Yeah. Tell him I get it.
I won't.
So yeah, that was 9/11 for me. 2011, 9/11. What was it? Sunday? This past Sunday?
Yeah, it was.
I did, let's see. Oh my God, actually. My 9/11 Sunday was awesome.
Okay.
So, I mean, I met up with this person. We had brunch and we hung out all day. And
what person? What person? Was it a girl?
What?
Sounds like a girl.
Yeah, not going to talk about it. But
ooh, you brought it up.
No, it was a new person I met. Very
no.
cool.
No.
Not doing this. Anyways.
Okay, okay.
Can't do that. Nope.
How could you possibly ruin it? I'm not asking for a name.
No name. I'll say it was great. We hung out a bunch.
That's it. Next.
Yeah, next. Next thing.
What else did you do? You hung out all day.
Hung out all day, and then I did Cobra Lounge, and I did Town Hall.
That's good.
It was a good day.
Will you forget it?
I'll never forget it,
there
I guess.
There you go. That's good. Fantastic. Hopefully. Tower 2.
Ah, Jesus.
See, that's what I'm going to start yelling when I'm bombing.
How do you bomb as, like, you just...
As
like,
a host?
Well, when you... Do you kill as... When you're not getting laughs, you're not a comedian, right?
Well, I'm doing a monologue. I'm not doing jokes, so...
Right.
Yeah.
So what is killing for you as a monologue when you're just doing a monologue?
I'm doing a monologue. People are laughing and paying attention.
People laughing? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you're still going for laughs. You're not trying to fucking lead a lecture.
I don't know. I always wondered when there's like speakers when they know that people are engaged and like
you can tell
off stage and just like walk and be like that went well.
You can absolutely tell.
Okay.
Couldn't you? Are you just judged in laughs?
I'm judging laughs, and it actually was a huge problem for me in public speaking.
Oh,
it
really?
It still is somewhat, yeah.
No, I could tell. And, like, when an interview is going well, it's so fucking obvious when an interview is going well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's always a way to kill.
Yeah. So, like, I remember when I took the speech class freshman year of college, I went up there, and my voice would crack, and I was very nervous because I wasn't getting laughs. Like, I had this comedy cadence.
Really?
But I would be giving this very like serious like presentation about, you know, how a car runs or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I would say a fact and then I would get no response. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, this is bombing. Like, no one likes me. I'm never going to get booked in this class again. So
I hope you never get booked in that class again.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I stopped showing up to that club.
Do you know now when you're... Do you ever have a thing where it's not comedy-based that you have to...
Get
host?
Up and speak?
Yeah.
I mean, the last thing I did was that talk at Second City. I was a little nervous.
Really?
To begin with. Yeah, because, you know, you kind of had to brag in the beginning. And it felt very gross. Because I had to, like, convince these kids that, you know, they should listen to me somewhat. But then the teacher who brought me in left, and it got very real.
How did it get very real?
Well, then they asked me about, you know, they were asking me questions like, what happened? Or like, how did you get this? And I tell them, you know, what happened and how I'm a little bit bitter about it still.
Oh,
or
we're
like,
talking really quick. We're talking about Fallon.
Yeah. And then, whatchamacallit. Call and me. Then they would ask me how I got it. And I would tell some crazy, like, story how, like, I went to this event and I found the guy who runs the show and I begged and pleaded for him to take my pack and he said no, so I kept asking other ways and I would, you know, there's a lot of like hustling and like little like you know, schemes you gotta pull.
Yeah.
And I no one really ever told me that side of me I've always gotten from being romantic about movies and stuff like that, of like Ferris Bueller or like Ocean's 11 and like pulling off a mini heist. I feel like I've been using that in my career somewhat.
Yeah, you have.
And I didn't know if like I should tell that to certain people or some of these kids, because some of them might not have the certain social skills to pull it off to where, you know, it could ruin their career if they're like showing up at a writer's house. Like,
but let it. It's going to be ruined anyways. You're not, like,
yeah.
You're not preventing it. Their insanity is.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think I told them some good advice, but I also told them the truth. And I also told them, I think I told them it optimistically. And I'm glad that they caught me, you know, recently, other than, like, 2 months ago, where it would have been just, like, you know, fuck this, fuck that. But this time it was just, like, you know.
You got over that pretty quickly.
Yeah, it took a little bit, but yeah, it was just like, you know, enjoy what you have now, because what you dream of isn't always going to be that great. But know you're in Chicago and you can do weird shit. And have
I
fun
am so sick of you talking like that.
Dude, it's true.
Live the dream, buddy. Enjoy it. Enjoy it while you can.
I'm sure I'll find something in my career that I really like, but I'm going to worry about right now.
Kids, don't enjoy your misery. Don't enjoy not having money.
It's not misery. And if you know, there's always a way to get you can do some odd jobs and, you know, drink with your friends on the weekends to pass the time and forget about how shitty your work week is or your school week.
All right. Or your school week.
But two, with school, I told them this, I shouldn't have, but I was like, listen, your parents are paying tons of money for you to come out to Chicago, and you go to school for, if you were to go to just regular school, you'd be going to school for 3 hours a day most of the time. Like, you can do whatever you want on those other hours of the day. Like, no one is ever going to get this opportunity. You know, you got to take advantage of it. You know, use it to buy time.
Mm-hmm.
Go an extra year because you want it. You know, you got really involved with, like...
But you're assuming their parents are paying for it.
Yeah, but if they're not, they're paying through loans, right? At least
sometimes.
The kids I'm talking to, yeah.
Sometimes the kids are paying for it.
Yeah, I mean, I paid for it in loans, and, you know, I also worked a ton, too. But I also sacrificed shifts, not taking shifts, because I wanted to go out and do comedy. Like, there's sacrifice that needs to be made.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So. Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Good talk.
What did you want to talk about? You wanted to do this. What did you want to cover?
No, I just wanted to record our voices.
Good.
I don't have much going on during the days, so I thought, you know.
Are you still going to be there next week?
I think so, yeah. I haven't bought a return ticket yet.
To LA or Vegas, or you don't even know?
I'll probably go back to Vegas, because I always drive to LA from Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Or to Vegas.
All right, well, let's do one of these next week. We'll also talk about 9/11 stories.
Okay, what are you gonna put in the description? What is it going to be that we talked about? Let's recap it.
What should we include?
Well, we opened up with, what are we going to talk about?
Nah, we're not going to do that. That's not going to be in the description.
I don't know. You're the one that has to do it. Do it right now.
No. I'll do it when I want.
Let me ask you about your process. Do you then go and
listen? My process?
Do you then go and listen to this interview all the way through?
For this show, I won't.
Good.
No, I don't care. No. No, for the live show, absolutely. And if this was one-on-one in the same room, absolutely. But for something like this, it doesn't. There's nothing I can cut out, because if I cut it out, it won't. The next thing won't make sense.
Yeah. When's your next live show?
Tuesday.
When's your next live show in Chicago?
November 27th. It was supposed to be on Halloween, but I'm doing a DC show on the 28th and can't afford to fly for like 3 days only.
Would you, if I was like, I'm going to get a bus ticket to come out to DC for a day, would you do a show?
When would you do it? From New York or something like that?
No, I'm in Chicago right now.
No, I know, but you can't take a bus from Chicago to DC and make it worth it. No, okay. It's cheaper to fly.
Never mind. Not going to do it.
Yeah, don't do that. It also would take like... a day.
All right, you come here or you come to LA.
It's more likely I'll be in LA this November, December.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think you're going to be hosting the Pizza Film Fest, aren't you?
Right. Yeah, I got to buy a ticket.
I'm going to be there.
Boy, that sucked. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it'll be fun. You weren't there for the last one.
No, I was gone by like 2 weeks.
Yeah, so wait, what are the dates of that? We can plug that right now.
That's November 29th. We have a live show the night before.
Okay, can I do that one too?
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay, so all right, I'll do the live show November 29th.
No, that's 28th, and then the 29th you host the Pizza Film Fest.
Great, and then then we'll get to see Tia Ayers.
Tia!
I always miss dearly.
Who's in L.A.?
She's in L.A., it'll be a good time. Last year was a lot of fun.
That excitement in your voice is just palpable.
No, it's my wrapping up voice. Like, that's it.
And, that's it. Da. Did you get anything to plug?
You know what? I don't think so, but hopefully we have some good news next time we talk.
Fair enough. I will be at Hosteling International on Tuesday the 20th. Please, please, please come. We need to pack the room. I know it's a weird venue. We'll make it work, and hopefully we'll do a lot of other shows with those guys. So that's it. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a wonderful night.
Goodbye.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.